Now, State Assembly Republicans passed a COVID-19 bill on Thursday, but it's facing some resistance from Republicans in the state Senate. The bill would block mandatory vaccinations against the virus. It would also give the GOP-controlled Finance Committee more power over how federal COVID relief funds are spent. But if Republicans in the Senate aren't on board, the bill won't get any further. This all comes less than a month after Governor Tony Evers proposed his own bill tackling the pandemic, one he said was the result of bipartisan meetings with GOP leaders. The newest bill kicks off the state legislature's two-year session, which began on Monday. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have confidence that Republican and Democratic leaders can come together on any issues in the next 2 years on some kind of COVID-related package? Which changes are you looking for? What do you want to see state government do when it comes to COVID, whether it's from a health perspective or from an economic perspective? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Molly Beck covers state politics and government at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Molly, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Molly, before we get into some of the specifics of what this legislation from the Assembly would do, what is the current status? You wrote pretty recently the Senate Republicans who control that chamber not on board.
Right. So there was a bill that passed this week in the Assembly. It puts about $100 million toward fighting COVID-19 and the effects of the pandemic. But the state Senate is not on board. They're going to introduce their own version next week, and they plan to take that up in a floor session next week. All of this is to say that I don't know that either will get, you know, a signature from the governor. It seems like everybody's pretty far apart on all sides.
I want to give a listen to Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss talking about the package here when it was unveiled. Here's a listen.
Those of you who were here know the legislature approved a bipartisan relief package within the first month of the pandemic. This week, the Assembly should act once again.
And Molly, it seems like a lot of people are saying, yes, we need to do something. There seems to be some sense of urgency, and it doesn't seem like we're knocking on the door of agreeing what that something should be. Is that about right?
That's right. Yeah. The Assembly, their bill would require insurers to provide testing and vaccines without cost to individuals, make the vaccine available through the state senior care prescription drug program. The bill also provides some liability protections for businesses and schools. But one thing that the Senate doesn't like is there's a provision in the Assembly package that would allow local health departments to issue orders for 2 weeks without any kind of oversight from a local county body or something like that. The senators that I talked to, they don't want anything like that. As we know, there have been a lot of lawsuits over the last few months during the pandemic against the governor's emergency orders and local health departments' emergency orders related to the pandemic, especially if they close businesses. So that's ultimately, I think, going to be a big sticking point between the Assembly and the Senate, but also with the governor, because I don't believe the governor would support a bill that would take away that power from local health officials.
Another local control issue that comes up here has to do with schools. What would change in the Assembly package? Again, if approved by the Senate as well and the governor, very long shots there. But what would the Assembly package do when it comes to schools and their ability to go virtual?
It would make it more difficult for schools to have virtual classes. It would require a larger majority of the school boards to approve a plan to go virtual. It also would expand the open enrollment program in the state during the pandemic. This runs through the end of next school year, and that would allow a family to enroll in a different school district if it wanted to, no matter, you know, if there was room or not. I believe the way it's worded is, you know, a school can't reject open enrollment applications. So it would allow the intention is to allow families who don't want to be in a school district with virtual education to go to a school district that has in-person courses.
Talking to Molly Beck from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about different plans on the table in the state legislature and from the governor for some kind of action related to COVID-19. It's been since the earliest parts of the pandemic that any bills have been passed into law. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of some of the ideas you've heard so far? Making it more difficult for schools to go all virtual during the pandemic, making it for easier for families to opt their students out of schools if they are virtual. What do you want to see lawmakers and the governor do when it comes to COVID-19? Do you have hopes that they can overcome those partisan differences on this issue? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Molly, those are a few points of the Assembly Republican package. Now, Governor Evers had put out a plan. As I mentioned, he said it came out of talks with Republican leaders. What kind of things was he trying to push lawmakers to do?
Yeah, so that package came out in toward the end of December, and he said that he called it a compromise. Republican leaders disagreed with that characterization, but he said that these were provisions that the two Republican leaders and him agreed on in discussions about the next COVID-19 relief package. It was also about $100 million, which is scaled down from the initial proposal from the governor, which was about a $541 million package. The governor's scaled down package included things that he's proposed before, including making it easier for doctors from other states to work in Wisconsin, to provide more funding to hospitals and nursing homes through Medicaid, expand COVID-19 testing. Like the assembly package, it would make COVID-19 vaccinations available through the senior care program, expand call centers for unemployment offices too, things like that. He proposed that and asked them to take it up before the end of 2020, but the Republican leaders reacted to that by saying that he was blowing up negotiations. And since then, I don't believe they've talked.
Now, we have not seen a good working relationship between Republicans in the legislature and the governor since before he came into office. Really, is there any sign of the ice melting and them being able to, I don't know, do an a la carte thing, take one or two things they agree on and try to get it passed?
When they were talking in November and December about the next relief package, that was the first time that they had spoken to each other at all, as far as I know, since the summer. I think it had been 6 months when they started talking again about that package. And that went on for a few weeks. But then when the governor put out that scaled back proposal, we kind of went back to the dynamic that we've known before, where you know, the Republican leaders and the governor are not on the same page and publicly criticizing each other.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Mike is with us in Vernon County. Mike, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What'd you want to bring up, Mike?
Well, I just wanted to make a quick comment here on the allocation of monies that if there were to be proposed and put forth here in the legislation.
Yeah, what's your suggestion?
Yeah, I think the money really should go more towards educating people on increasing their immunity, education on better lifestyle choices, diets, and other things that are available to increase our immunity instead of just pushing pills and vaccinations. I think the money would go towards the public schools to do that, provide that at the public schools, whether it be at the universities or just at local schools, K through 12.
Gotcha, Mike. Thanks for calling in. I mean, again, I don't think there's any sign that changing our diets right now is going to slow down the virus at all. But what are there public health outreach efforts included in anything anybody's talking about, Molly?
I don't believe there are any substantial proposals to do that, like create some sort of massive public education campaign with a lot of money attached to that. I haven't seen any proposals like that. I know there was talk of that a few months ago when you know, the governor was trying to get more people to wear masks, and a couple groups have done that. They've, you know, put out some TV ads to that effect, but I don't believe there is any substantial proposal using state money to do that.
Let's go to Heather now in Appleton. Heather, hi.
Hi. I just called because I've got a couple unique perspectives. I'm a teacher in a small town, and we've been in person this whole time. And one of the reasons we could do it is because about 15 years ago, that community was able to build a new middle school, and we had extra space. Well, since then, one of our major industries in town went under, and therefore our population actually has decreased, which leaves us with even more space. And even though it's not perfect and we're working it out, and we do have kids coming in school and then going virtual and back and forth sometimes, it's working. But only because we have that extra space. I have students, kids of my own, who go to a different district in a bigger school, and I'm so happy that they are only 2 days a week in person and then 3 days virtual, because that leads them only to have half the number of kids in the building. All those kids in the building at the same time, that would be way too crowded and the spread would happen even faster.
Heather, thanks a lot for that call. Heather, I think highlighting that what works for one district might not work for another. How much flexibility in, say, the assembly plan would a school district have to, you know, weigh their own local circumstances and be able to go virtual longer if they wanted to, Molly?
Well, the proposal puts a 14-day cap on a decision to go virtual and would require the board to revisit that. But I don't think it, you know, puts any requirements on it beyond that. I think the school district would still be able to create the plan that they think is, you know, appropriate for their school district. But the decision making to keep it all virtual would have to be revisited every 2 weeks.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Molly Beck. She covers state politics and government at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking with her about COVID-19 plans in the state legislature and from the governor. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see when it comes to COVID-19 and state government? Do you think that the governor and Republican lawmakers should support any particular measure? What do you think about limiting the ability of schools to go virtual, of limited times for local health officials to close down businesses? Do you want to see the governor and lawmakers work together, period? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Molly Beck is with us. She covers state politics and government for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're looking at the state legislature plans to tackle COVID-19, health-related measures, economic measures, and more. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see from our state's government leaders on these issues? 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. We've got Sue on the line in West Salem. Sue, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to point out how sad I think it is that they can't continue to agree on anything and get anything done to help the voters in the state who have voted for them and put them there in that position, but yet they get to continue to get a paycheck and all their benefits and not even do the job they were hired to do.
Sue, thanks a lot for the call. Molly, I talked to your colleague Dan Bice with his annual winners and losers list. He shared Sue's thoughts on lawmakers. He put them on the loser list for similar reasons, and the governor was on the list, too, for his handling of unemployment. I don't know. Is there a sense of frustration out there in the legislature or maybe what they're hearing from constituents that things aren't getting done?
That's something that I hear just from readers pretty consistently and have heard from them for a few months now, that the legislature, you know, all these big crises were happening in the state last year and the legislature hadn't met since April. That is something that I hear. There's the unemployment issues and the pandemic issues, and over the summer, you know, and beyond, there were issues with racial discrimination, and a lot of people wanted that to be addressed by the legislature and the governor, and it just, you know, the three sides just can't seem to get together and haven't been and still don't seem to be on the same page. And so that is something that I do hear.
Thanks for the call, Sue. We'll go to Chris now in Prairie du Sac. Chris, hi.
Hello. How are you guys this afternoon?
Good. What'd you want to bring up, Chris?
I am a mother of a teacher, and I'm also a healthcare worker. And my concern is about the teachers. My daughter's been teaching virtually all semester long, and now they're going back to school in a couple weeks. But is there in any of the legislation, both the GOP package and the governor's package, for extended additional dollars for PPE, cleaning supplies, all that kind of stuff? And when would teachers get vaccinated? I know there's no big official. I know there's a plan for vaccinations, but it doesn't seem like teachers are near the top anywhere close to it.
Chris, thanks for the call. A lot there, Molly. First, let's start with the question of whether anybody's looking to provide more funding for protective equipment for teachers and healthcare workers. Anything like that in anybody's plans?
I don't see anything specific about that, sending more PPE to schools. I know that that was a effort months ago when the pandemic was kind of getting going, that the governor sent some PPE out, but I don't see a program specifically for that that's proposed here. But, you know, that is something that might be, there might be some sort of allocation within the Department of Health Services, you know, that school districts could tap into. But I don't see anything in this legislation specifically for that.
And then Chris brought up another issue you've been watching, a moving target, our vaccination rates in Wisconsin, our plan. I think if I had this right, when you looked at it, national average-wise, we were in the middle of the pack. Midwest-wise, we're trailing. What do we know about the rollout of vaccines here in the state?
Yeah, I just looked at that data. It's federal data that I'm looking at, and Wisconsin is toward the bottom of the Midwest in terms of getting a first dose out to people, and also just in terms of the distribution to Wisconsin. The governor today asked the federal health department for more vaccines. The Trump administration had been holding back some to ensure that people who get a first dose get a second dose to be fully vaccinated. And President-elect Joe Biden said today that he would stop doing that and give more doses out to states. In terms of when teachers would be vaccinated, I know that the state panel who's overseeing distribution plans, they have discussed putting teachers in the next wave of those who get vaccinated. I don't believe anything's been finalized yet, but teachers are in that discussion about, you know, in February or March when the next wave starts of vaccinations, they might be in that group.
And, you know, state by state, there are states out there where it seems like the vaccine rollout plans are confused, awkward, kind of disorganized. We've got some concerns about that kind of thing here in Wisconsin, if I'm reading your reporting right, Molly.
Yeah, that's right. And it seems to be the common thread seems to be communication. When we talk to state health officials, there's an answer to some of these questions, but it's a matter of getting that answer to the people who are telling us that they don't know when or where they're getting their vaccines from, you know. So that's just this week, the emergency medical workers said that they met with DHS and learned, you know, where they're going to get all their vaccines. So it seems like some of that's getting ironed out this week.
Time for one more caller. Jane is with us in Kenosha. Jane, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Well, I just want to bring up a couple things. I don't believe that the Republican-controlled legislature is going to work with the Democrats or Governor Tony Evers in this new session. And I find that very sad, especially after the events that happened in Washington, D.C., and we can see what partisanship does to tear a country apart. Secondly, I find it ironic that the Republican legislature would like to have more say over local school districts when they're a party that talks about smaller government, and here they're trying to push themselves into local governments, which I'm not sure that's the best thing to do.
Thanks for the call, Jane. Just a minute or so left. Molly, there have been accusations that Republicans had earlier said, let's have local control, don't impose statewide mandates, and criticisms now that they're looking to, at least in some respects, override some local controls.
Right. There have been a lot of criticism that I've heard about that. Some of the proposals that have been the subject of that criticism would put requirements on local health departments to have, county board oversight. And that's, not the state at the state level before the criticism was having statewide blanket orders. But now some of those lawsuits that have been brought by conservatives have also targeted the local health departments, too.
Thanks for that call. And Molly, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Molly Beck covers state politics and government for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We talked to her about state GOP lawmakers' COVID-19 legislation. Looks like we'll have different plans from Assembly Republicans and Senate Republicans, on top of what we've heard from the governor as well, and what negotiations could look like bad, it sounds like, for the most part, between the various interested parties.